afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And today is Tuesday, March 19th, 2019. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. Aren't you so glad people just can't wait to hear our comments on the news?
Really? Absolutely.
Well, I mean, but, really?
Really?
Well, they listen
well,
in so much on our
anyway.
Comments. Yeah, I understand that.
But, well, my comment today is a gold. Today we had a high of 1311, and she's settling in around 1307. So these are really good signs. We're really creating a base here at this 1300 level. So I'm very pleased with the way gold is performing, certainly underperforming by all means. It's, you know, I mean, again, gold should be trading, you know, 3000 today. But hey, we'll take what we can get. And because we know the future of gold, and we know that gold is price is going to skyrocket. 1307.20 for gold. Silver is up 2 pennies, and the same thing with silver, 1544. Platinum today, we have the race between platinum and palladium. Platinum beat palladium today by about 1.5%, I guess, up $17, $855. Palladium was up 13, $1,597, but ready to break into that 1,600 level. But it does look like a lot of action going on in platinum. USDX today was down 0.13 at 96.38. Crude oil was down 22 cents at 58.87. And the paper markets today, looks like the Dow 25,889, down 24 points. The NASDAQ was up 9 at 7,723. The S&P basically unchanged from yesterday at 28.32. The 10-year yield 2.61%, Euro 114, and European Asian markets, Japan was down a little bit, and there is a ton of things that are going on, and there are a lot of interesting little reports. They're quiet reports, but I think they mean a lot. And Butch, I think you have a lot there that we're going to talk about today. And it was interesting. Yeah. I saw the press conference with President Bush and the president from Brazil. And I thought that was interesting because just this morning I was listening to Bloomberg financial news program, and they were talking about how much soybeans China purchases from Brazil. And it's interesting because we know that we were dealing with China on the trade tariffs, and they were talking about how for us to get the trade deficit down, the way they're planning on doing it is truly through agriculture. So this would be a positive for the farmers, but, you know, those are your corporate farmers, of course. You know, so that's who it's really going to benefit. And if it trickles down to the little farmer, great, fantastic. But how much can they purchase? How much agriculture can they purchase? If the soybean is their biggest item that they, you know, acquire, how much are they going to stop buying from Brazil in order to purchase from us? And they were talking about how their silos are already at capacity. So they're not quite sure, you know, how it's all going to work out. But I thought it was an interesting conversation. And then, of course, the Brazil president is here. And also with some interesting information with this Brazil president was there was a question asked by the press about Venezuela. And I mean, we do know that, of course, Brazil has a border with Venezuela. There's been reports that we have military in Colombia, which also borders Venezuela. And the question is, are we with this new friendship with Brazil? And my question is, whatever happened to the BRICS, you know, with Brazil and China? But now all of a sudden we have this new relationship with Brazil and the United States. But the question was about Venezuela. And he pretty much, the president of Brazil pretty much said, you know, this is when it comes to this issue, we're just not going to share the information with you. And I thought that was kind of interesting.
Well, nothing like having an open forum where everybody can understand. You know, I mean,
well, you know, but we've heard, and he did bring up. He says during one of the debates, and I'm not sure if it was President Trump or not, but the question was, is how would you contain ISIS? And the response was, well, if I tell you how we were going to contain ISIS, then ISIS would know, and it would sort of defeat, you know, our ability to go in there.
I understand ISIS, and perhaps trade in the same way. I don't know. I'm not a businessman, so...
But well, I can understand why. I'm talking about Venezuela.
Military bases
being opened up in Brazil. And the question was, and would there be military action against Venezuela? And this is when he pretty much pleaded, I'm not going to say anything.
The fifth. But, you know, but this is... bit in it. I mean, that it's kind of getting obvious, more obvious every day, that perhaps something is about ready to fly in Venezuela with America getting involved directly, militarily. I mean, all this has come together at a strange time, is it not? Opportune time, perhaps, for the United States.
Well, you keep bowing out. I can't hear your complete statement.
I said this seems like it's all come together at an odd time. I mean, with all this problem with Venezuela, all the saber rattling between the United States and Venezuela, and now we got this going on with Brazil and other things. It kind of, you know, you wonder what's going on behind this. I mean, well, all of a sudden we're buddy-buddy with Brazil, and before we weren't. This kind of, to me, it kind of tells a tale that something's about to give.
I think so, too, and I think it's important. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it has something to do with both China trade agreements, and if it's true about the agriculture, and also about Venezuela and the military in Brazil in order to get Maduro out of there. So yeah, I do think it's timing. It's not by coincidence, that's for sure.
It certainly is not.
But there were reports. Of about the possible pushback China on trade, but also the Wall Street Journal announced today that there should be the deal for the plan should end by April. So they should have a new trade plan by the end of April. And that was from the Wall Street Journal. So we'll see about that. And, just see the headline here. I didn't have a chance to read this article, and it's something that we forget when we talk about Brexit. And one of the most important things is the London financial markets. They have a huge amount of derivatives over there. I think they hold more derivatives than the United States does. So, and this report was a transatlantic front opens in the Brexit battle over derivatives. So I'm going to have to read that and talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. But I find that headline kind of interesting because derivatives, we know there are, quadrillion of them. who knows how many more.
Well, they're like sitting on a lit powder keg, are they not?
I think so. So
if they blow, it's going to be nasty.
It is. It's just another one of those things that is unforeseen, that could be the catalyst that sparks the unwinding of everything. And no one knows what that catalyst is going to be, when it's going to be. It could be a number of things. But it just goes to show you, I mean, with all these things that can come undone, it's like we're getting just a little bit closer. And ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we all whine and complain and moan and groan about low gold prices and that they're manipulating it and they're keeping it suppressed. You ought to be thankful. Do you realize how nasty it's going to be when gold does reach 3,000? So bless your lucky stars that we're still here, able to process orders and so forth at a reasonable pricing and everything else and availability of product. because it's going to be really nasty when gold trades at 3,000. And we might just be saying, you know, be careful what you wish for. It's not going to be like it is today, gold trading at 3,000 or 5,000. That means you're having an absolute global meltdown in the financial markets. There will be violence in the streets. There will be social unrest. So just remember, ladies and gentlemen, yes, we can whine and complain that they manipulate the gold prices, but thank our lucky stars, we got an extra day to prepare. And it will be nasty. And it will affect each and every one of us. I don't care how much gold you have or how little gold you have. It will affect each and every one of us. So, anyway, are you still there, Butch? I don't think. Okay. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. Today there was another report with Pakistan. Remember the little deal with India and Pakistan a couple weeks ago? They were shooting down, denying it, and held assault, and all this kind of things. They're both nuclear powers. Well, today, the Pakistan tells China of a deteriorating situation in the Kashmir province. And the foreign minister told his Chinese counterpart today of a rapidly deteriorating situation and rights violations in India, Kashmir, and called for India to look again at its policies there. And as I mentioned, India launched an airstrike on a militant camp inside Pakistan last month. It did kill at least 40 paramilitary police, and it was the deadliest in Kashmir's 30-year-long insurgency. So again, here's another area. They did have escalation. Their tensions escalated, then it seemed to back off a little bit. And certainly those fears involved both the nuclear-armed India and Pakistan. Maybe they could slide into a fourth war. So now you have Pakistan saying, hey, China, you know, things aren't going along so well over there.
I'm back. I'm sorry about that.
Well, we're talking about Pakistan and India.
I heard that. I've been listening a little bit.
Talking. So, again, it's... Wang, who is China's foreign minister, said China has always believed that peace and stability in South Asia is in the joint interest of the countries in the region. Yeah, he doesn't want any nuclear weapons going off. And so, kind of interesting. And
this is something we're seeing brewing all over the world, Melody. South America, the Far East, the Middle East. Where do you look anymore? That's the Bible said in Matthew 24. Where do you look where you don't see rumors of war?
Yeah.
It's
wars.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yes. Everywhere. And by the way, I got to ask you a question, because if I don't, I'm going to regret if I don't ask this. Palladium has went up 27%, according to this article, from last year. 27% increase in palladium from last year. So if you bought palladium a year ago, you've been doing pretty well right now. But in comparison, you have any figures on gold and silver and how much they have increased since last year?
Well, I don't have any. I mean, we've seen gold trade between 1150 and 1300, mainly,
right,
you know, for
right.
the past couple of years. So we've been in that time frame. And so depending on whatever day that you look up, yeah, we've had a nice, you know, we have a few couple of runs, but certainly not like palladium. And you have to remember that South Africa and Russia are the biggest suppliers of palladium, and they account for almost 80% of the yearly supply. But Russia leads the way. Now,
wow,
you know, when palladium was trading in the 1400s, I mean, you could say you have the increase in the world demand for better and stronger pollution controls. That's why it increased. You could say it increased. Maybe it's just paper trading. Maybe you get traders that are covering their shorts and, you know, is pushing the price up. It's the big guys that are playing in this palladium market. And then you could also say, well, you know, if Russia is the biggest supplier of palladium, maybe they're playing with the market to some degree. Maybe they're withholding palladium the release due to all the pressures and everything else that has come Russia's way. So it could be any one of those. I think it's probably all of them that is pushing the palladium prices higher. And what it doesn't make sense to me is why I think it's more not the demand, is because you have platinum trading at a lot lower price. And platinum, I believe, is better than palladium as far as the pollution demand? Controls and so forth. No, as far as pollution controls.
Okay, gotcha.
So why wouldn't you go for the lesser of the metal if it was for pure demand?
I guess the point is, investing in metal is always wise anyway. Any metal, because it's getting scarcer. Is that not a good statement? It is getting scarcer.
Well, it is. I mean, there's been, you have to put everything into perspective, as far as demand. And, everybody says, it's going higher because of the world usage. Well, you know what? People who say that, in the same breath, they also say that we're going to hit a world depression. So demand will drop considerably if you believe we're in a world, headed into a world depression. So personally, I do believe we're headed into a world depression. I do believe the monetary systems around the world will be combined somehow, some way for trade. It has to. I mean, countries are manipulating their currencies. This is countries are positioning themselves for trade. They want to do the best that they can and bring as much as they can to the table for the people of their country. So it's just like what we're doing. We're out there positioning, trying to bring more home. It's going to be hard to compete with all those Asian countries that basically they work for peanuts every day. So it's it's global growth, globalization, whether you like it or not. We're not the ones as individuals that get to, do we get to decide it, Butch? I mean, supposedly by a vote, but it's the multinational corporations that's running the deal.
It is. Even at the time, even when we were youngins, the U.S. pretty much led the world in trade and production and everything else, and buying, but also exporting. We've lost that a long time ago. We no longer are as big a player in the game as used to be, are we?
Yeah, but we didn't have the ability today of technology. Technology has allowed the world
right.
to grow.
That's
I mean,
what I'm
we had saying, a captive we had a captive audience.
We did,
but we didn't preserve it.
No, we didn't, and we lost a lot of clout because of that.
And it's not coming back. I hate to say it.
No, it's not. It's not.
And but what is coming back is our break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. And, of course, this program is archived at the website, and you can also listen live at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. We're going to continue the special for $660, and that is a $25 face value, 90% silver, and a quarter ounce American Gold Eagle, $660. I haven't changed that, and we've seen quite a rise in both gold and silver since I started this. Remember, we started it at $665. I dropped it by $5, and then we've seen this big turnaround, and I'm still keeping it the same. So $660, two packages, and you'll get free shipping. So give us a call, 800-375-4188. Butch.
Well, you know, we're always talking about the markets, and we should, because, and again, I'm amazed. I'm absolutely amazed with all the unrest and chaos in the world, how they maintain them the way they have. I don't understand that. But nonetheless, I read an article here today in a newsletter that there's the same cycle that we're seeing today in the markets was what it was in 2007. And we know what happened in 2008. And we're overdue. Usually it runs in 10-year cycles. We're overdue for this next correction, I guess you could say. But the same idea in the markets is the same kind of system is going on in 2007 that we're seeing today. And I think one of the telltale things about the seriousness of this is the fact that in January, they repossessed over 29,000 U.S. homes in the United States. 29,382 U.S. properties started foreclosure proceedings in January. Melody, that's a lot of, if that's homes, or number of business, what they are, that's a lot of business and homes taken down. According to this article, more than two dozen states, including Washington, D.C., posted annual increases in foreclosure starts. States with the highest activity include Florida, up 91%, Texas, 50%, Washington, up 40%, Hawaii, 31%, and Arizona, 28%. Now, that is quite an increase from the smallest one, Arizona, 20%, up to Florida, 91%. You know, so that is a huge increase in foreclosures. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, you know, and those are the same states that in 2008, you know, you had Florida, you know, so that seems like that came back. And, you know, they're doing the same thing, Arizona, Texas, Washington. I mean, these are Washington's is a little surprising, but these are the same states. It's the same thing over again.
Well, you know, I mentioned that our stock market is, well, you said it was 28 something, I believe you said, today, or
25.850. 25. Yeah, 25. No, we're not at 28. Good grief.
Okay, well, they'll get there if they keep it up where they are.
Weren't you paying attention?
I was, but you know, sometimes my mind wanders. But to say the market's still holding its own or gaining ground with all these foreclosures, you know they're covering something up. You have to understand that they're covering something up. They're not wanting to show us the bad part of it, obviously. And of course, anyone that goes to the gas tanks has seen a surge in gas prices in the last 2 months. Unbelievable surge here in West Virginia, up about 40 cents. I'm not making it up. It was $2.25 a couple months ago. It's now $2.65 right here in Nettie where I live. $2.65, we're higher than the national average. And the cheapest prices in the States is $2.30 in South Carolina. So gas prices have went up. They were under $2 in South Carolina. Now, that's a fact. I have people live down there and talk. But whatever reason, they say it's because they're changing the blend of gasoline, because they had a fire in Houston. We all know about that. It's burning right now. And all these things you blame it on. But I kind of believe it's because it's springtime. People are planning vacations and some travel time. That's just my opinion. In my opinion, $1.50 buy a cup of coffee anywhere. But this is what I see happening. And it happens about every year in the springtime, prices seem to spike. They say it's just about identical to what it was this time last year. But, Melody, a 40 cents increase over a 2-month period, that's a lot of increase, is it not? Okay, I don't have to Melody, but I was talking to her. So, anyway, 40 cents increase in here in Nettie in the last 2 months, or maybe less than 2 months. But it's just amazing how much that, I mean, we fill up, that's another $4 10 gallon. And if you're working every day and a tough time making it, that doesn't help you a whole lot on your paycheck, does it? Melanie, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I want to make sure you weren't talking to me. And, of course, you already know this, I'm sure. Shopko, bless their heart, Shopko is selling out. They're closing down. They said they couldn't find a buyer for the retail business. And they began winding down its corporations beginning this week. The company said in a statement released Monday, decision to liquidate will bring an end to a brick-and-mortar business that began in 1962 with one location in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I can't help but feel kind of nostalgic about that and kind of sad. 1962 has been a long time ago, and they've been in business. Said, I mean, it's just so sad, but this is not the outcome that we had hoped for when we started the restructuring efforts. Shopko CEO Russ Stenhorst said in the statement, "We want to thank all of our teammates for their hard work and dedication during the time of Shopko." But that's a passing again of another era. In 1962, now they're closing down the final stores, and that really is. Maybe just sign the times, I reckon. But brick-and-mortar stores are kind of going to the wayside, aren't they?
They are. But you know what? I think it's all by design. I think they intentionally let these brick-and-mortar stores go down. I think it's all a way of you have these corporate CEOs of these companies. It's just like, I mean, I look at the decisions that they make, and it's just like, are you kidding me? And yes, I get they have, you know, ways of making their decisions and so forth. But certainly, it's like, it's puzzlement. I mean, even Sears, you know, the guy goes in there, they walk away, the CEOs and the shareholders, they walk away with billions of dollars, you know, while they, you know, thinking that he's going in there to save Sears. And it's just the way everything is done anymore. There's always a back door, and there's always a, it just doesn't seem like anything is out in the open, up front, and honest anymore. And I'm not saying the guy's dishonest. He's allowed to do it. It's you know, so forth. But nobody talks. And who gets hurt? This is when it trickles down. You know, the people with the Sears pensions and retirements, these are the people that are going to be hurt. And yet,
they truly are.
It doesn't matter anymore. People, it's like nobody cares about anyone anymore. It's just bizarre. It's just bizarre.
A nation of narcissists. But a question on that too.
Go ahead. And if there's anybody that we should be thinking about, and this has just been bugging me all day long, are the people in Nebraska. I read where two-thirds of that state is underwater.
Yes.
Two-thirds. We have many customers in Nebraska, and I think about each and every one of them. And I'm thinking about the life, the stock, the cattle, the horses, the animals, the people. Two-thirds Nebraska. But who cares about Nebraska? Everybody only cares when it's Houston or California or Florida.
Well,
I've got people
like
there too, and I love you all. But I mean, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the news people. It's not newsworthy for Nebraska. The only people that are reporting on Nebraska is the Weather Channel.
It is so sad. It truly is. You lose your home. Even if you had insurance to cover it, you never get your home back like it was. You know that.
People in Nebraska aren't going to be carrying flood insurance. Why would you carry flood insurance in Nebraska? got lots of streams and everything, so maybe they, you know, and rivers and things like that, so maybe they would, but that's not one place where you'd think they would have a flooding problem.
Anyway. Well, and the worst in history, too. So I don't know. I mean, when I see the foreclosure on homes, I'm thinking about that, and somebody lived there, and that was their home, and they lost it for whatever reason, floods, fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, whatever. That's a home destroyed. And in most places, it's full of memories and full of things that you can't replace. So it is sad, and it's sad that a few folks were killed in these floods. That's the saddest part. But to lose your livestock and your livelihood, I don't know, folks, that is something you need to think about. Now, this has been the worst winter in a lot of ways. We had the wettest winter in history here in West Virginia. A lot of rain this year. Other places on record floods and record snows and record colds. So, yeah, there's some really strange things with the weather. And you and I both know, Belly, that they mess with the weather all the time.
Yeah, they do. They sure do.
They sure do. So it's just what it is. It's sad, but it's true.
Yeah, so just be safe. And I know we had the 23 lives lost over that tornado and everything.
Yes, yes, yes.
And, you know, I have customers in that. I have customers everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, across this great nation. And it's just like, it's just... But anyway, we can't forget and make sure you say your prayers for these people.
Amen. Yeah, that's important, folks. You know, I'm ashamed I didn't even mention that myself. That's important. That is vitally important. Everybody isn't as blessed as we are right now. And it could be our turn next. No one knows that. No one knows. But this next article, I think, is very interesting. Stress mess. 3 in 5 millennials say life more stressful now than ever before. From slow Wi-Fi to broken phone screens to 0 likes on social media, everyday stressors are causing young people to struggle with falling asleep 138 nights each year, researchers say. Smartphones and digital technology are supposed to make our lives easier, but for young adults, it seems that things may only be getting tougher, and for a slew of reasons. According to one recent survey, about 3 out of 5 millennials, 58% of them, feel life is more stressful right now than ever before. In fact, the survey of 2,000 American millennials, commissioned by CBD oil company Indoca, reveals that 1/3 of millennials believe their lives are more stressful than the average person's life. The survey also pointed to numerous causes of the frustration for this young segment. Many feel their overall stress level was caused by the accumulation of daily micro stressors, seemingly trivial experiences, such as being stuck in traffic, waiting for appointments, or various smartphone issues. For example, although losing one's wallet or credit card ranked as a top source of stress for respondents, 1 in 5 say they've been more stressed if their smartphone screen broke. Like, you hear that? More stress to the smartphone. They'd rather lose a wallet than break the smartphone screen. For more than 2 in 5 millennials, 41% of them, a damaged phone screen is worse than seeing your check engine light flash in the car. Melody Seastrom, something's out of balance here. I mean, really. You'd rather lose your wallet and credit card than you would have your smartphone screen cracked. I don't know. Do you reckon they're bringing some stress on themselves a little bit with that kind of priorities?
Well, I wish that was all the stress that I had.
I understand that.
Only stress that I had.
But this goes to show that the millennials, and I'm saying this kindly, are kind of wimpish. And I'm saying this sincerely. I'm not saying they don't have stresses. That's not the point. But who hasn't had stresses? And one of my biggest stresses is not being worried about my cell phone screen breaking. Not at all. So maybe they get the priority straight. A lot more stressful things to worry about than that. But just, I thought it was just an interesting issue there. And if you want stress, go ahead.
And this is kind of, there was a survey done, the OECD. I don't have the full report here, just the beginning of it. But there's a survey of 22,000 people in 21 different countries. And these are the world's richest countries. The title of the article is "The World's Richest Countries Are Full of Anxious, Alienated People." The people of the world's richest economies are anxious about everything from money and taxes to healthcare to pensions, and they've little faith in governments to do anything about it. These were 22,000 people. A clear sense of dissatisfaction and injustice in advanced economies. A majority believe they wouldn't easily access benefits if needed. Less than 20% say they get a fair share given the taxes they pay. And in many countries, most people feel governments ignore their views. So, you know, here's the adult kids in the room, you know, that are worried a little bit more than about their cell phone screens being cracked, Butch. Are you there, Butch? Did you leave me again? I don't know where he went. Maybe he had an emergency. Now I'm a little worried about... He's gone again?
I'm right here. I'm right here. All of a sudden, y'all went off. I don't think it was my end that time, but I'm here.
Yeah, because I heard little noise in the background. But anyway, I was talking about that report, and it certainly shows that the adults in the room have a lot to worry about.
Yeah, that's right. Now, this next article may be something to think about. Seriously, the Department of Homeland Security has warned that the border security near system-wide is in a meltdown. Now, this is unbelievable. A Central American migrant retreats from the U.S. border fence as an attempt to storm the border is repelled by tear gas. With the government on track to catch 100,000 illegal aliens this month at the border, Homeland Security Secretary Kristen Nielsen warned Monday that the immigration system is facing a near system-wide meltdown. If the projection holds, it will be the worst in a decade. But it will be more troubling because of the large number of children and families who are nearly impossible to deport, the Washington Times reported. Melody, I got a statement and a question to ask you on this. It's hard to deport children and families, and I understand they're children and families, but they're here illegally. Why is it hard to send them back home, back across the border? Why is it hard to protect the borders? I don't get it. I don't want to see anybody suffer. But when they come across here illegally, I don't care whether they're families or single individuals, why is it hard to enforce the law? I don't get this.
I don't either, but it's very hard for people to, it's if they're here illegally, send them back, let them come here the right way. It's that simple.
It is, but the bleeding heart liberals will cry all day long if you do this or separate a child from parents who broke the law and come over here. And I'm not a heartless individual, I'm not. But if we don't enforce the law, 100,000 going to try to cross the border this month alone. That's over a million by the end of the year. Think about that.
Hey, and everybody says we'll let 100,000 come in, but let them do it legally.
There you go.
Dude, don't let them give them. They, if they're not here legal, they get no benefits. Take away their driver's licenses. Take away the reject the law. That's if someone's hurt
again
and they go to the hospital, you have to take care of them. But but anyway, I agree. And I agree. We're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. While we get Pastor Butch's setup fixed.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Ball. Hopefully, we got all the little quirks out of our system today.
No, I'm still Butch. Here. I'm still here.
You are quirky today. And so, if you'd like to go ahead and let me double check to see what the gold prices are doing.
That's right. You remind me of that. Yes, please do.
Yeah, is that what you?
I was going to remind you. Yes, I was.
All right, 1307, still holding up almost $3. Silver 1545, platinum 856, and palladium ready to touch the 1600 level at 1597. So, good day in the precious metals. A little weakness in the dollar, and markets did turn around today. They were kind of a mixed bag. Really didn't do much of anything, as you know, they're all waiting for the Fed decision to come out tomorrow, and everybody expects them to hold steady on the rate. So we'll just wait and see what Mr. Jerome Powell decides to do. And
what do you think he will do with that?
I don't know. I really don't know. 20,000 jobs created. I don't think the economy. I think he's going. I don't think he's going to do anything. He's not going to raise them, because I don't think the numbers are strong enough to support an increase. So, and you haven't heard President Trump coming out and pre-warning him in any way. So I think they already know it's going to be he's not going to do anything. He's not going to increase.
Well, you know, the economy is sincerely walking a tightrope. You know that.
Yes.
The least little breeze, yes, it's going to be hurt. It really is. But a different article moving to here that, and Illinois, I've been through there several times in my life. It's a flat country, but it's a beautiful state. The countryside out in Illinois is a beautiful area. But right now, Illinois is not the state to be in for a lot of reasons. One of them, of course, is taxation. And now it looks like their assembly, the General Assembly, has a bill up, and it's got a very broad sponsorship, and it's really well organized for passage. It's a 365-page monstrosity of bureaucratic overreach, unhinged social engineering, climate extremism, and shameless disregard for cost. It's called the Clean Energy Jobs Act. It would specifically, and the specificity and the force of law behind the core concepts of the Green New Deal spearheaded by Congresswoman Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. So, Illinois, bless you folks' heart in Illinois. Your government about ready to shaft you again. They're going to follow the example of Cortez. Cortez, the airhead congressman. The woman was a bartender before she became congresswoman. And this is where it's headed. Illinois is going to follow. They want to do away with every type of fuel, anything. Their goal is to be 100% carbon-free electricity by 2030. 100% renewable energy for everything about statewide by 2050. Now, that's not like a long ways off, but it's not that far away. So, Illinois is following Cortez's example or plan for the new Green Deal. Melody, I say this humbly. I'm glad I don't live in Illinois right now for a lot of reasons, but that's one of them right there. That's a sad thing to see.
We kind of wonder where they're getting their money. I mean, they're broke.
They are broke.
They're broke.
And people, they can't pay the pensions.
I know.
So, but I don't know.
Let's raise property taxes and sell some bonds, and let's do this.
But
again,
how long can they do that? How long can they keep on doing that? This is amazing to me that they keep doing this.
As long as people pay their taxes, they can.
But how much more can the people hold on their backs? That's the question, is it not?
Yeah.
And here's a story. I you know, we hear about a lot of drugs coming in the country, a lot of drug smuggling and all matter of things coming in. Well, feds seized 1 million pounds of pork smuggled from China to New Jersey port amid an African swine fever outbreak. Now, can you imagine this? U.S. Customs Border Protection Agents made the biggest seizure of agricultural product in the American history, the official said Friday. On the heels of the massive cocaine bust in New Jersey port, the U.S. Customs Border Protection announced another big seizure on Friday at roughly 1 million pounds of pork smuggled from China, where there's an outgoing outbreak of deadly African swine fever. Officials announced the seizure of more than 50 shipping containers during a press conference Friday morning at a warehouse in Elizabeth. The three rooms were filled with all the wall packs of illegally smuggled pork products. I probably should have known this, but I never thought that smuggling meat and pork was such a big business. 1 million pounds of pork is probably worth a lot of money, wouldn't you say?
You know, the big question is, why are we even importing meats?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I agree. Why? You know, if you want to fix this country and make it better, and I get all this is meat, importing meats, it's all into the trade agreement, so let's fix it. If you're negotiating trade agreements, how about we just do our own meats? How about if we feed our own and put some restrict, but it's not going to change because everyone has become so dependent on everybody else.
Yes.
And as soon as you stop and change something and you have a country that goes hungry because we don't, you know, I mean, it doesn't make no sense. It doesn't. Why do we import pork and export pork? You know, keep your own pork, send it someplace else and let us keep our own.
Well, I agree. It's
like, we import more than we export. Why can't
exactly
we feed
right.
ourselves?
I agree. And why don't we keep our own energy resources here, like oil and coal? We ship it overseas. I know it's a battle to save the planet in the United States, but why don't we keep our own energy sources here, get our energy prices down, produce more jobs because people could afford, factories could afford to even do more if they had cheaper energy sources. Why don't we do it that way? You're making sense, Nobility. Why don't we grow crops for ourselves? Why don't we go back to farming in our own land and get government out of it?
Because the corporate farmers destroyed our farms. They destroyed our farmlands.
That's very true. And now the GMO products are everywhere.
Yep,
and Monsanto
everywhere.
Was out there, and Monsanto has been sued successfully lately, by the way. So we kind of threw it all down the drain. We had it. We really did have it. Back in the 50s and 60s, the steel mills in Pittsburgh were booming. I mean, they were booming. They were huge, huge, huge. Plants up there working, and now you by there, it's almost spooky to go by there. Have you been by there any time in the last few years, last 10 years or so? Look at those empty plants.
Well, I've been through around the Lebanon, Pennsylvania. We had the Bethlehem Steel factory, so yeah, Bethlehem Steel, and it was in Lebanon. And so no, I seen, you know, what has happened to those, and it's not coming back, ladies and gentlemen. I've said this story from 2016, it was an article about Johnstown, and I have customers in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and it was an interview. It was about bringing steel back into this country with the hope of the 2016 election, and you know, people were interviewed, and you know, in Johnstown, I mean, they were all steel, and they were excited. There was hope that the steel would open up again. I haven't been to Johnstown for 2 years, so I don't know if that's the case, if that has happened, but I don't think it has. And so, you know, people have hoped that we could finally get some real change in this country. And, you know, I keep hoping that it does, but I don't think so.
Well, you know, one of the things that you said, people were excited in 2016, Trump's going to bring back steel industry. Well, it's been over 2 years. It hasn't happened yet. So
have brought back some, but I mean, it can't be brought back because of all the trade agreements.
I agree.
Basically have to eliminate all of them, and that's not going to happen.
Well, you know, when
we
could
put tariffs on, we could put tariffs on things and so forth.
Well, when I drove by the steel mills, it was really a sad thing to see. I've been through there for years. I mean, we're talking about buildings that are absolutely monstrous buildings. Falling down, wind is out, and I thought about all the thousands of people one time worked there that produced steel for America and American cars and other businesses, and they're gone. And those are well paid jobs. They've been, people worked there for years. So Be that as it may, folks, it's a sad decline of infrastructure for a nation when it can't even feed itself.
And it's not only that. We used to have the best steel in the world.
We did.
And now you have China producing it, and it's crap.
Yep.
Excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen. It's quality.
Well, let me, go ahead.
The quality. And everybody accepts it, but yet the prices continue to rise.
They do.
And rise and rise. So they can keep their little 2%. You compromise on the quality so you can justify our little, 1.2% inflation rate. They're all nuts. They're stealing your money. Our products are getting cheaper and cheaper, but we pay more and more. We become a disposable society, not only in refrigerators and televisions, but we're also became a disposable society in life. So
very true.
Where does this go from here, ladies and gentlemen? Do you really believe we can go back? We can only hope that we can fix our future, that you could protect yourself and your family, your children and your grandchildren for what's to come, knowing the truth and not denying it. That's the key. And so it's
And preparing for what's coming. That's a smart thing to do. Prepare yourself. But you're talking about steel, and I'm somewhat knowledgeable about this because in the job I have for over 40 years now, I've sold hardware, specifically mostly nuts and bolts. And I know for a fact, back in the early 70s, about all hardware was either made in Canada or U.S. Then all of a sudden they started doing something called dumping steel. They dumped in foreign steel and made hardware out of it. And over the years, I've learned how to look at the head of a boat, the markings on a boat, and tell you what grade it is and where it comes from. We found that several companies, including one called Fastenal, I don't mind saying this, was part of the dumping steel trend. And the senator out of, I believe it was Wyoming, and owned that company, was fined because of that. And Canada quit letting ship their boats into Canada for a while. So, yeah, I've seen this. And boats were breaking. People were getting sued. The company I worked for sold only American boats, Lake Erie boats. It's made in Lake Erie. They shut down every plant but one, but they're still making Lake Erie Grade 8 boats. And Highland, who makes another, I think it's Illinois, I believe it is, makes a Grade 5 boat. But I know what dumping steel means. They come in here at really cheap prices. I couldn't touch your prices. Now, they took the business for a while. Then people finally caught on. They were having trouble with them. And I got the business back after a while. So, yeah, dumping steel, folks, is going on. And China, Japan, other places ship in here a lot of things that are not safe to use on automobiles and machinery. I know that to be a fact. I'm telling the truth. I mean, that's my own experience. But different topic go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to share my little story because it's a little funny, too. I have a screen door. It has a little handle, metal handle on it and so forth. You go in and out, in the screen porch. And I take my dog out to walk. It was cold outside. It was freezing this winter and so forth. It was a push button thing that you push in and then you pull the door open. Well, my push was frozen. It just in the 5 minutes that I was outside, it was kind of like stuck, like it was frozen. Now, me, okay, a female. So I'm pulling on it and the handle, this is metal, it snapped. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I'm Bionic Melody because I was able to, I snapped, but that's the cheap quality.
It is. It's probably
the
aluminum
metal
too.
Handle. It just snapped.
Primarily aluminum. And but by the way, Melody bench press is 200 pounds though.
Yes. But again, it's just like, you got to be kidding me.
It is sad.
It is.
And this is something that we may see come in the future too. It's kind of scary. Trump Jr. fears big tech's conservative censorship will create a private social credit system. Now, we're seeing this, Melody. People with conservative views, Christian views, a lot of times are being kicked off Facebook and Amazon, other places.
Yes, sir.
Kicking them off. And they're starting to set a kind of a standard that if you say the wrong words, they kick you off social media and internet platforms. That is kind of taking away somebody's side of the argument, is it not?
Well, it really is, but I think also what's so dangerous about that is because we are being put into groups. Instead of being Americans, we are being separated. That's we're true. Being on divided. Purpose. And this is very dangerous because this is where you're going to see violence. You see these young children, these young kids today in their 20s. I mean, they really are violent compared to what we were when we were that age. I mean, and when we were that age, you had the bikers. They were violent. But most of us, we were, you know, flower children, hippies. Peace-loving, you know.
I wasn't even a hippie.
The ones that really destroyed everything, huh?
I wasn't even a hippie. I grew up in a place where I didn't know what hippies were. I mean, really, where I grew up, there was the worst thing that happened, somebody smoked a cigarette.
Yeah, so, you know? Totally different world, and it all comes back. But, yeah, it's dividing into social networks is very dangerous. But that's part of the agenda. And they're going to get... I was reading today, we just about have a minute, out of the LA Times. The 21st Century Fox has spun off various television assets, including the Fox News Channel, and they're going to form a new company that will be known simply as Fox Corp. And it completed early today. It's a big deal, but now it's a standalone publicly traded company, and now you're going to, since the father gave this to his sons, you know, they're liberals, they're not really conservatives. You're going to start seeing different changes, and we've already seen that with that Democratic who was a purple-haired lady that gave the questions, the debate questions early to Hillary. She's now an analyst. She's now a host on the Fox News. So you're going to start seeing changes with the Fox company. So again, a changing. Where's the conservatives? And again, this is the breaking up of the social network. So 800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.